The Deeds of Dog Training will not only help your dog understand commands better, but also potentially minimize those times when your dog just embarrasses you. What do I mean by this? Well, we'll talk about it next. All right, let's get this week's episode going. Hey, everybody, this is Jake, and welcome to the Learn, Laugh, Bark podcast brought to you by On Dog Training Academy. We are an online dog training company. Check our website out at ondogtrainingacademy.com, where you can check out our course. You can check out free webinars. You know, we have podcasts that we've been on in the past for other people. There's just a lot of really good resources there, so definitely check out ondogtrainingacademy.com. So in this week's episode, we're going to be talking about the D's of dog training. Now, we're going to be talking about four of them because we think there are four main ones. And what this is, what the D's of dog training is, in my opinion, is it's going to really help set your dog up for success no matter where you're taking them, no matter what's around them for distractions, and it just makes it a lot better because, as you know, dogs are really bad at generalizing behaviors or training. Right? Like if you have, this is a really good test to do with your dog right now. So if your dog knows down, you know, you could probably have your dog come to you, give him a hand signal for down, tell him down, your dog lays down, right? Now have your dog, put your dog behind a fence or something, or just tell him to stay, do something from a distance and tell your dog to down and do the hand signal. Now your dog is a long ways away from you. What are they going to do? Well, they're going to do one of a few things. They're either not going to down at all and just not do it, or they're going to do what they know, which is come to you and lay down next to you because that's where it's been trained, right? Dogs are really bad at generalizing things. You can't just teach your dog down right next to you, and then your dog's going to go, when the dog's on the other side of your yard, you're going to go down, and your dog's going to go, got it, and lay down. That comes with time and training, but initially, when you teach your dog the skill for the first time, they're just not good at generalizing. This is why people struggle so much when you have this dog and you've been working them so much at home and either company comes over or you take your dog somewhere and suddenly this dog who would never jump on you at home or anybody at home is jumping all over everybody or play biting or doing all these behaviors. It's because they just aren't, it's just not easy for them to generalize the skills you've taught them at home if you haven't practiced them other places. You know, it's just difficult. So we're going to be going over four D's of training, of dog training today, that we think are going to be really important to help you succeed. We don't want people to be embarrassed with their dogs. And unfortunately, because a lot of people skip these steps or don't give the steps enough time that is required, to us, this is where the struggle happens a lot. So D number one is duration. So duration is just a length of time. And the length of time, I should say, that your dog is maintaining a behavior. So for this example, we're going to use a stay because this is the most easiest one to give for an example. So let's just say you're starting to teach your dog stay for the first time. Well, I'm not going to say we're going to do a 1 minute stay. I'm not even going to say you're going to do a 10 second stay, you know, because if you add too much length of time too fast, your dog's going to fail. And failure in training, although I do think there's an importance in failing with your dog making mistakes and everything, when you're initially training behaviors, you need to start with a length of time, with your duration that's going to be fair for the dog. Okay, so I'll usually go with like 1 second, 2 seconds, 3 seconds, and then just build from there as my dog has success. You know, because again, if I tell my dog, you know, if my dog's never known stay in its life and I say stay, and then I'm like, I'm going to be away from you for 20 seconds. Well, what's the likelihood or the percentage that your dog's going to make a mistake? Probably very high, right? And it's just those mistakes aren't fair because your dog has no clue. So when you train, start super simple with it. Start short, you know, start short time, you know, and reward correctly and often. This is how we build duration. This is how we build dogs who can do 1, 2, 10, 20 minute stays with no problem is we build the duration up to it. And we typically do it using rewarding, you know. So maybe my goal is to get my dog to lay down for 1 minute. Let's just say that's my goal. It doesn't mean I'm not going to reward my dog until it hits that minute. I want my dog to understand the longer you lay on the ground, the more treats you're going to get. So I might go, well, every 3 seconds you get a treat, or every 5 seconds you get a treat. And then as that minute's going, I might stretch it out to, well, every 8 seconds you get a treat, or every 10 seconds you get a treat. And the dog starts to learn the value of just staying there, you know, as opposed to just saying you're going to lay there for a minute. And then once it's up, I'll give you a treat. We can stretch length of time out over time. We can build it to where, yeah, I might only give you one treat once you hit that 60. But in order to get to that point, it takes rewarding and it takes time. The next one is distance. So we're going to stick with the stays on this one because it's going to make a lot of sense when we tie it together. So with distance, obviously distance is just how far away you are from your dog when he does the behavior. You know, I gave the example of down, right, before. So when you tell your dog down from across the yard, maybe they're a dynamite at doing downs next to you. But when you tell your dog down from across the yard, they probably are going to look at you like, what the heck is that word? I've never heard that word before in my life. But then your dog gets right next to you and you say down, and they're like, down? Yeah, of course, I know what down is. I've done it a million times, and they do it perfectly. Well, again, that's the generalizing issues that dogs have. So like for the stays, I'm going to put my dog into a down stay. And instead of saying, well, I'm going to walk across the yard while you're in a stay for the first time. Well, that to me is going to be a big struggle for a dog if they've never seen you walk away that far without coming with you, without anything. So when you're doing this, it's the same as duration. When I talked about duration, it's basically the same thing. Is you want to just start simple. So I might go, okay, I'm gonna tell you to down and stay and reward you for being next, just being by me, all right? And then I'm going to tell you to stay, and I'm going to go 2 feet away and come back, and then 3 feet away and come back. And I'm rewarding every single time, 10 feet away, come back, you know? And over time, over many training sessions, that's where you're going to be able to then have your dog down, walk over to the other side of the yard, and then come back to your dog, and they're doing it successfully. Again, our goal with all of this isn't just to have the dog do it, but to have them do it in a way that is fun for them, clear for them. And I think when you have fun, clear commands and fun, clear training, it cements into your dog's head a lot more of what you want them to do in a positive way, you know. And so a really big thing I think that people do that's kind of a mistake for the duration and the distance is that they add them together too fast. They're going to say, well, I've never done it, but I'm going to do a 30-foot stay. I'm going to be 30 feet away from my dog, and I'm going to be out there for a minute. But if you haven't added any time, if you haven't added any duration or distance or duration, I should say, and you're just clumping them together, you're piling on the likelihood of failure on your dog, which isn't fair to your dog. So I always tell people, start with duration. Get them to just hold a down or whatever. Have them just hold the position for whatever. Once they're doing that well, start to add the distance, right? Start to separate from your dog. And then start putting it together after that. You know, but initially, if you're working on distance, make it less time. If you're working on time, make it less distance. And then meld the two together. If you can get them both at a high level, combining them is going to be absolutely cake. It's going to be so easy. Your dog's going to succeed. You're going to be super proud and happy with what's going on. And everything's going to be just awesome. So this, again, we're using stay as an example. But like healing, all these different things could be pertained to this. You know, like for healing, I'm not going to heal with you without a stop and a treat for a mile the first time we do it, right? I'm going to make it shorter. For healing and like distance stuff, I would look at length of the entire program. So I'm going to reward often for healing, and my distance is going to be shorter because especially for young dogs, hey, you're going to heal with me for a mile. Okay. For young dogs, that could be a lot to ask. Maybe I'm going to say you're going to heal with me for 100 yards, something like that, right? So this pertains to not just stay, but healing, everything like that. Super, super important to kind of remember that. The next one then is distraction. So once you have your duration down and your distance down, now you're going to start working on distractions. I love to artificially set up distractions. I'm not going to just say, well, I need distractions, so I'm going to go to the park, because it's very unpredictable at the park, right? It's very unpredictable everywhere, basically, except for at home, in your yard. You can set up distractions, whether it be the kids running around or someone squeaking a toy or you, the cat being outside with you. I don't know. You name it. You can add these distractions around your dog. Now, again, just like the other ones, my tip to you for this is to start simple. Don't be like, oh, my cat gets so excited when he sees a cat, so I'm going to bring my cat out and plunk it right in front of him and let my cat run around the yard while my dog's doing a stay. Well, again, the likelihood of you setting that dog up for failure or the dog failing, probably pretty high. But maybe you're going to carry your cat around. So now you have your cat. The cat's not on the ground, which is adding a whole nother element of distraction. Maybe this time I'm just going to carry the cat around. Okay, or have somebody carry the cat around. Or you're going to be having the, you're going to have the distraction be from a distance, right? So then maybe the cat's going to be 100 yards away or 50 yards away. 100 seems a little long, you know. But when you're adding distractions, you can actually go back up to your duration and your distance when it comes to distractions as well. If I'm going to say, hey, kids, I want you to run around my dog and we're going to work on distractions. Well, I'm not going to say you're going to do this for 5 minutes. Just run circles right around my dog for 5 minutes. And distance wise, I want you to be 4 feet away from my dog. So for one whole minute, you're going to run around circles and 4 feet away from my dog, and my dog's going to do good with it. If it's a new dog, that's tough. So just like anything else, you go back to duration and distance. You say, okay, for distractions, I want the kids to run around for 30 seconds or 10 seconds even, but at a distance of like 50 yards or whatever it is your dog. Basically, we look for our dog to be able to handle it, and that's the distance we start at. You know, again, we're setting them up for success. So that's kind of important when it comes to your distractions. You know, and don't do distractions that are unfair, right? Don't have somebody in the yard. Don't have you tell your dog to stay, and then somebody in your yard yelling your dog's name, Fido, Fido, come here, because that is going to almost guarantee set your dog up for failure. And it's going to get into our fourth D here that we'll talk about in a second. It's going to leak into that, and that could then start to struggle. But really think about when you're adding distractions, add them from a distance and make them short. You know, if your dog gets excited about soccer balls, you know, maybe somebody's at a distance away from your dog and they kick the soccer ball 3 feet, just bump it with their foot, and the dog sees it, but it's not a full out blast kick that your dog is going to go, I'm going to chase that thing, right? You're adding your distance and your duration slowly, just like we were doing with healing, or just healing, just like we did with the stays, you know? So keep those things in mind. And the last one, well, I should say with distraction, I'll get into less predictable distractions once the distractions at home or my predictable distractions are going well. You know, I don't want my dog to still get super excited when kids are screaming or whatever, and then be like, well, we're going to go to the park and test it anyways. You know, I'm not big into doing that stuff. I'd rather try to proof it at home as best we can. Now, this doesn't mean keep your dog at home. Never bring them out places. It's just be strategic about it and maybe don't put your dog into situations that are very triggering to them unless you've practiced it and you're confident that you can take it to the next level. The last one is diversity. So diversity basically just means variety. So variety means places, taking them to new places, different people. Now, this one to me is extremely important, especially if you have a family or if you have multiple people that are going to be handling or commanding your dog. Make sure you have them working with it, because something as simple as an adult to a child. So say the dog works with me. I don't have kids, so I'm talking about an imaginary child. But let's say I'm telling my dog, sit, down, come, heel, all these commands. And then I transfer it over to my child. And I say, okay, now you tell him. Well, the kid's like, sit, down, stand. Just that tone change. And it could even be husband to wife. It could be, you know, spouses. It could be whatever. Just a tone change can throw a dog off. Just the way you say it. If you have an accent, if you draw out the S and sit a little too long, those things alone can throw dogs off because, again, they're just not good at generalizing. So I love teaching dogs the behavior I want. So, like, once I teach a dog a sit, then I'm going to start to have other people do it so that my dog understands, yeah, it sounds slightly different, but it's the same thing. They start to understand it even better. So getting other people into it. But, again, with diversity, think about smells. So we live out more in the country. So there's the smell of country. But our dogs are used to it. So a distraction or something that would we want to train more is taking our dog to like big cities because the smells there are different. More exhaust, more restaurant smells, more business smells, more just smells in general. We won't go into what cities smell like, but there's diversity in there as well. So taking our dogs there, that is a really good training opportunity. Another one is weather. Just because, you know, I'll admit, it sucks to train in the rain. It sucks to train when it's cold, when it's windy, when it's snowing, all those things. It is just not a good time. but we have to train in them. Our dog has to understand, even if it's raining, when I tell you to come, it means come. When I tell you to sit or heel, it still means those commands. We have to work on those because that's clearly something a dog could struggle with. And we've seen many dogs when the owner's trying to get him to heel and it's raining and the dog just goes, I hate the rain. I'm not going to listen. Well, part of that, I mean, I don't blame them, but part of it is they just never practiced in it. And coming from a sport background with dogs where we're trialing outside, I understand the importance and I want to relay that to you guys. Understand the importance of training in adverse weather. Wind can mess with dogs. So training in wind, really, really something beneficial. I don't blame you if you don't want to be out in a snowstorm. I don't blame you if you don't want to be out in the rain. But be out there when it's windy because at the very least, that's going to be helpful. A couple more here. And these, to me, this is a really big tip is change your, I don't want to say cadence, but like change your commands when you do them. Becoming predictable to a dog, although habits are important, becoming predictable to a dog can set you up for failure or issues down the road. So if every single time, and this is a good practice, but this is something you can change a little bit. If every single time you walk to the door and you tell your dog to sit before you go outside. So now your dog's getting in the habit of walking up and sitting. And then you open the door and you let them go out. Maybe you make them down. Maybe you have them, once they go into a sit, you tell them to down. And then you let them out. Or you tell them to down, and then you tell them to sit again. Changing up slight things like that makes the dog process more, which makes the command stick better if you're doing it right. If you need to help them with food or with a hand signal, fine. But like, your dog's not going to always be told to sit from a stand. Sometimes they're going to have to be told to sit from a down. Or sometimes they're going to have to be told to down from a stand or a sit. So just those things, right? Or having your dog come when they're out playing with another dog. Or telling your dog to come to you and then telling them sit really quick. So they have to sit halfway to you. These are things, this is more advanced, but these are things you want to think about when it's diversity in training. This is going to make your dog become more of a thinker. And I know people, I've talked to people and they're like, I don't really want my dog to be a thinker because then they're going to become smarter than me and outsmart me. Yeah, but I think having an intelligent dog is so beneficial to many situations where you could almost reason with your dog more. Like if your dog is just hyper and crazy and I don't want to say stupid, but like just hyper crazy, doesn't have a ton of training and they're just like, people, I love people, and they're jumping all over them. It's hard to get through to them and communicate to them. But if you've worked hard with your training and you've done a lot of diverse training with them and you've worked distractions and you've worked distance and you've worked duration, being able to almost reason with your dog where you're like, dude, sit. I get it, but sit. The dog's going to go, okay. Got a little excited there, sorry, okay. And that is where I think that those embarrassing moments become less, because you're able to communicate to your dog because you've practiced in these situations, or like situations, I should say. But anyways, that is going to be it for the D's of dog training. Now, I didn't cover quite everything. I didn't go super, super in depth. I went a little bit. There's a lot more to it, and there's articles you can look up about all of these too as well. And I encourage you to expand, you know, learning by looking these things up and really digging into it, because it's going to only help you out with your dog. Of course, you can always, you know, let us know if you have any questions as well. But thank you so much for listening. Check out our website, ondogtrainingacademy.com. You can sign up for lessons there as well if you wanted to do a virtual lesson with us. We have a calendar right there. It's easy to sign up for a lesson. We can talk. We can do some demo stuff via camera. We're here to help you guys. We also have our course, Welcome Home. That's a really good starter course for people who are needing help with their dogs as they get them. But check us out on dogtrainingacademy.com, guys. And thank you so much for listening. It's always appreciated when I hear people talking that they've really enjoyed these podcasts. So if you enjoy them, make sure you are rating them on whatever platform you're hearing these on. So if it's Apple, make sure you give us, you know, a good review there. We just appreciate it. Help spread the word. And that's something we're really trying to do, is just spread dog training help for people, because a good dog is an awesome dog to live with, and it creates memories that last forever. And that's our goal, is we just want everyone to be happy with their dogs. And so that's one of the main reasons we're doing this. So thank you guys so much for listening this week. And like always, we'll see you next week. Good dog.